Welcome to Story Break Hard Mode. The toughest story breaks yet. Coming at you live from the Max Fun Drive. This is a writer's room podcast where three Hollywood professionals have an hour to turn a humble idea into a script for an awesome, impossible movie. Will they do it? This is Max Fun Drive. My name is Freddie Wong.
I am the writer's I will. Oh, boy.
I am Matthew, son of Arnold. Let there be writing.
All right, folks, this is Max Fun Drive, and as you know, we are only tackling the toughest, most impossible story breaks in honor of Max Fun Drive. It is time for you to take out your wallets and help support this show.
Look, it's week two of Max Fun Drive, y'all. This is where we focus on how important membership support is for this show and all of the shows on the Max Fun Network. Guys, tell me about support of the Max Fun Network.
If God can take 7 days to give you a whole world, you can take a few minutes to give us a few bucks. That's all I'm saying.
Look, your support absolutely is a vital part of keeping this network going, allowing us to continue to make this show, allowing our organization like Maximum Fun, which is artist owned and audience supported. It's a really unique place to get to create because there is no filter on what we do, as you are about to hear. Look, this is also the best time to join as a member because depending on the level of support you choose to join or upgrade, we have some incredibly cool thank you gifts that only get offered during the Max Fun Drive time of year. This is like when in Call of Duty, they're like, it's double XP weekend. Get in there, grind out, you know, get some new stuff.
What are those rewards? We'll be telling you about those in just a little bit.
But your first reward is a great episode of this podcast. And that one's for free.
Head on over to MaximumFun.org/join to check out all the rewards you can get. But as Matt said, here's your first reward. Boys, what are we doing this week?
We're blaspheming ourselves. This one's going to be, I'm just envisioning in, you know, some amount of time, we're going to be sitting there and old St. Pete is going to be going down the list. And he'll be like, what about this episode of Story Break? And I'm like, well,
we did
be one of those.
We did them a favor. It's like, yo, look, we condensed your book down. It's a good book. We liked it. It was a good book.
But let's be honest. Bestseller.
People don't sit around for more than a couple minutes anymore, St. Pete. So here's what we did. We took your book and we condensed it into a 90-minute rock and roll blockbuster. All so right. That's what we're doing today. We
the
are doing
Bible.
The Bible. But it's not just the Bible, because that's hard enough. But people have tried to do the Bible. They've done various stories of the Bible. They've done 10 Commandments. They've done big movies. The Bible in 90 minutes. A slick 90-minute movie.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, this episode is going to burn our brains so hard that for the first time ever, we have decided to keep the air conditioning.
And you all let us know, is the sound quality worth the discomfort we have when we record this?
Can we just talk for one second about the level of disrespect coming from Matt Arnold? This is my place.
Matt put the AC at 68 degrees.
Like, the amount of disrespect.
That's the normal.
This is my place. Like, this is his house. Live here and I fucking pay the bills.
The moment we are recording, this is an office for all your employees here, Freddie, and there are certain OSHA rules about fucking level
OSHA
of comfort.
OSHA
and
does
this
not
place
have
gets
a
to like
word
100
to
degrees.
Say. No, it does not. Holy shit.
Anyway,
okay, real quick for the record, no, my
Freddie,
domicile?
You're about to go 2-on-1 here because last episode Will was so hot he was practically dying. In fact, I was about
Will,
to call the hospital.
Will,
and
as
I was gonna sue
as
your
a
ass.
Reasonable man, Will, would you say that this place gets to 100 degrees Fahrenheit, triple digits Fahrenheit? Would you say that that's an accurate assessment?
Boys, don't make me choose between the two of you. Let's do the episode.
Okay,
we're
so
all
the Bible.
Gonna be sweating off in the fiery pit of hell.
No, because I've already solved this one. I thought this was gonna be hard, but I think
Before we start, the Bible, for those of you who don't know, is the word of God given to the
Yeah.
It's the story of creation as told by the Hebrew God Yahweh, I believe, is the God. They're like, don't
say. That's one term for
one term.
God,
you're not supposed to say the real name.
Yeah. Like Voldemort.
The Bible is a series of books from various writers throughout history that tell the story of God, Jesus, and various aspects of Christianity.
So it's like an anthology.
It's essentially
the Jewish people,
it's
you know, coming settled, out of the you know yeah, cradle of civilization.
It's split up into two, because again, we're going to have to get into some of this. It's split up into two major books, which is the Old Testament, which is before Jesus Christ, and the New Testament. And technically, the New Testament is supposed to kind of undo. Like, if you've read the New Testament, you don't need to read the Old Testament. It's like, according to some people. But other people are like, no, fuck that. Only the Old Testament is good. Fuck the New Testament. It's really complicated. There's a lot of controversy regarding this book, if you've ever heard about it.
It's a little bit like the new Star Wars trilogy and the old
old Star Wars trilogy.
There are some prequel fans and some sequel fans, and nobody likes Last Skywalker.
And then in this version is the Star Wars Legends canon, like the Apocrypha. Like, this is stories that like aren't part of the official canon.
Yes.
If you know anything about the Star Wars canon, you're more than able to tackle the nuances of the Bible. I'll just put it that way.
I'll be honest, both as when I was raised Catholic and I was very religious, and now when I'm not Catholic and a lapsed Catholic and not very religious, I will say a constant is I am always fascinated and love the Bible because I'm also a history buff, and there's something inherently, whatever your beliefs about the truth of God or spiritual or whatever it is, the Bible itself is just one of the most fascinating artifacts in all of human history.
As someone who's, I'm going through the Bible right now in an audiobook. Just again, I've never read it. I was curious about it. So I've been chewing my way through the Old Testament, and I'm, you know, like about this far into it because it's a very big book. But yeah, it is a fascinating, if nothing else, it is an incredibly fascinating cultural document and just brimming with philosophy and history.
You want to know why it rules? I'll tell you why. Two reasons. Number one. Why hasn't this movie already been made? Best-selling book of all time.
True.
Best-selling book of all time. Name any book that's sold better than the Bible. You can't, because it's number one top of the
heap. You know who's number two is Agatha Christie, by the way.
Word, really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
How much of a flex is that? Anyway.
All right, but you got Word of God, and then you got Agatha Christie. Number one, bestseller of all time. Number two, you want to know why I know the Bible fucking whips ass? Matt, will I go to hell for saying that the Bible whips ass?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I think that's the last thing you
why,
go for.
You want to know why I know the Bible fucking whips ass? How many times throughout history do you hear about some saint, some person in a rear, someone in a dark place, some hard part of the life, and they only read the Bible? And it's like, I sat there and I studied the Bible for years or whatever. It's like, name one book that you can sit down with and be like, I read it over and over again for years. It's like replay value. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're not hearing about Lincoln being so poor that he only had one book and it was Twilight, right? Yeah. Like, he's like, he got the Bible.
You're
like,
not
you can
about-
only carry one book. The Bible's pretty good bang for your buck. There's a lot of stories.
Bang for your buck. You're not sitting there being like, oh, my copy
of Watchmen.
Even
the stuff that as a modern reader pisses you off when you read it, engages with you, you feel something, you're like, that's a bunch of bullshit.
You're not sitting there being like, yo, my copy of Watchmen, I read it through 50 times to get, it's like, no, there's no deeper meaning there, but you know where it is? It's in the Bible, dude. You can sit with the Bible and that's it. You can straight up be a dude that's just like, I only read one book, and everyone rolls their eyes. And when you say the Bible, they go, okay, all right, fair enough.
All right, like I should probably listen to this person.
Okay, all right, okay, this Bible, okay.
Okay,
all right.
So here's the hard part about the Bible also in 90 minutes is, what are you actually adapting? Like, is it the whole Bible? That's what we're saying. We're saying the Bible.
And yeah,
I
the
believe
Bible.
History Channel or Discovery, one of them did like a miniseries, The Bible, which is just like essentially an anthology show, which is probably the best way to do it as a TV show. But we're doing this in 90 minutes. So here's my pitch. Here's my pitch for the movie.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to set up. I think about another book that had a lot to set up. This is one of the greatest movies of all time. Now, to be fair, it was 9 hours, not 90 minutes.
Lord of the Rings?
Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
One of the things they did that was smart was they introed a lot of the stuff you needed ahead of time in that really cool montage at the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. With Galadriel talking.
So you're saying we start with...
I say we do that. We start with that. We kind of start... kind of setting up everything, but that just lasts 90 minutes in the movie.
It's like,
you're like, when's the movie gonna start? But this is interesting. There's a lot of cool special effects, like in Galadriel, and we get Kate Blanchett, and her voice is so great. You can listen to her read the phone book for 90 minutes,
yeah.
And you're hearing her talking, like, okay, cool. Okay, they're getting all the way up to the, no, I get it. They're gonna get to the New Testament, and then they're gonna have
and then
Jesus
they start
up.
Blowing through the
and
New Testament.
And then just the titles roll, and you're like, no, what? I got the Bible. That was pretty good. 90 minutes. I more or less get it. That's not bad. So that's my pitch. That's my pitch for the whole movie.
All right, we're done. All right, folks, let's tell you a little bit about Max Fun Drive this week. You know what I like about that, Matt? Let me ask you this. Because there's a detail here that we need to settle, Matt, which is, what is the... Because like that beginning intro, right, it's just... it's riding off that great score. What's the soundtrack over this? Because you're asking for a set, you know, right?
That's
90
the
minute.
Easiest part. I'll say one thing, no matter how bad Bible movies are, or
soundtrack,
all
you should
soundtracks whip ass, like pull up Ten Commandments, whip ass. They're using, every time you watch the Olympics, it's probably some fucking score from like Moses or something. Like all those scores whip ass.
Yeah, no, the music is definitely not the hard part.
Okay.
All right.
Who's the main character of the Bible?
Well, it's God, right? Gotta be the number one OG.
All right, here's what I could see. Let's flee from this fucking this land. Let us go out of Egypt into the promised land of the five-act structure. And maybe we do like, this is like Bible select, right? Mm-hmm. Like maybe you do...
Bible premium.
This is like, we take five stories from the Bible that... are like, if you get these, look, again, what is it they say that it's like, you know, you get 80.
Well, it's about to make the most controversial statement. It's like every person of a different denomination of Christian. Oh, interesting.
Let's say you do five stories, right? Mm-hmm. And we wanted to generally kind of follow the arc of the Bible, right? Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean, like, you know, sort of, all right, just to get metaphysical for a second. God creates man and woman, and like he endows us with free will, right? Yeah. And then we fall from grace, we leave the Garden of Eden, mm-hmm. and then there's basically the long, painful journey of man learning to not fuck rocks and kill people and eat shit, right? Like there's the entire, just like God painstakingly trying to get the, like, you know, like choosing his prophets. You have, like, you know, from, you know,
the Old Testament,
Joseph to Jacob to Moses, you know, like the.
It's just a quick question though. At some point, does he hit reset, though?
So, yes, no, that's the first thing he does, is he, so he boots up.
Like a soft reboot.
Okay, so, yes, there's the initial soft reboot with Noah, right? Like he's like, all right, Adam and Eve, get out of here. He turns around for 1 second, and then Cain's bashing his brother's head in with a rock. Everyone's, Sodom and Gomorrah, everything's going crazy. He's like, all right, I gotta scrub this.
Noah was like,
you're my guy. Check this shit out. He kills everybody else. And he's like, you're gonna repopulate the earth, and then Noah's like, got it. Okay, cool. Like, I'm
cool. Is there any, like, non-relatives around here? They're like, bye.
Bible magic. He just sprinkles some of that Bible magic on him.
Yes.
But basically, to me, like, I'm going to just, all right, here we go. The gist of the Old Testament is you have the story of the Jews, you know, and their God, and you have essentially like a sort of rising morality and the trials and tribulations of a people as they struggle to, you know, maintain this relationship with God. You then have like Jesus, right? Yes. So then in the New Testament, which is, I guess I would say the midpoint of the movie, God sends his son to earth.
Yeah, it's weird, and because then, the Bible is closer to like a Kubrick film, and that's like got two clear acts, that kind of...
Yeah, it's like Full Metal Jacket.
Comment. It is. It's a two-act. I don't know what that structure is called, but like Kubrick was obsessed with it. A lot of Danny Boyle movies do this too, like 28 Days Later. But like, it's a second act that comments on the first and doesn't undo it, but like, yes, like, there's a big difference between religions, whether or not you believe in the New Testament or not, because the New Testament contradicts a lot of the Old Testament. But that's because,
it's a playwriting structure.
Jesus reintroduces the idea, again, all from my understanding, everybody's Christianity is different. But if the Old Testament is, trial and tribulations of humanity, like Jesus comes and takes our sins and sacrifices himself as a God and essentially creates a new sort of, whatever you want to call morality. Like, that is where, right, the Old Testament is a lot more like, yo, you disobey God, you're fucked. The New Testament is a lot more like, do your best, repent. We are all sinners. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why we can only do so much. Like, you have to put some of your faith in God and Jesus and love thy neighbor, et cetera, et cetera. Like, it's a lot more of that.
So just, again, because I am the heathen in this room, right? So I'm very, very unfamiliar with, I know the broad strokes.
I like the morality of the New Testament, but I like the battles of the Old Testament. I'm mostly,
so
definitely
Bible
reading
boys.
Wise,
so
I like
our
the Old Testament.
Peak ideal Hollywood Bible is New Testament vibes with Old Testament.
Yeah.
So Bible boys, question.
Yeah.
New Testament has like a bunch of books from the apostles, right?
Yes.
So is it so,
I don't believe any of them were actually written by the apostles.
Sure, but like the point is there's like the book of Mark,
Matthew,
Luke,
Mark, St. Luke and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John.
Yeah. Okay, so are they just retelling the Jesus story?
Yes, there's four different takes. It's like Rashomon. It's
okay.
And then apparently I saw this on Twitter. One of the apostles like keeps, I can't remember which one it is, but he keeps hinting that Jesus has a favorite apostle. And then at the end of the book, and he goes, and that apostle was me. Which I'm like, that's rowdy. That's great.
I'm definitely very rest on this. So people who actually know don't take offense to this. But like,
this is great because people who know the Bible don't want to listen to this episode. People who don't know the Bible don't want to listen to this episode, and it's our fundraising episode.
But it's really fascinating because it's like the different books that were written. Like one of the books was written like 600 years after Jesus.
Sure,
and there's
sure.
Like they're all think of it as almost like PR statements. Like one was like specifically targeted to like we're trying to get Jews
to believe
in Jesus, and other ones were like this is more like the historical.
Okay,
one,
so I have a question then.
Yeah.
Again, please don't laugh at this question because I don't know.
I probably will because it might be funny.
How does the Bible end? Like, what's the end? Like, you know what I'm saying?
You
like, what does it get to?
I don't know. What is the last? Is the Revelation?
Like, what's the last thing they say in the Bible?
Book of the Bible.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the ending? You know what I mean?
Book of Revelation. So Revelation is...
Look at that. I remember.
The last book of the Bible has fascinated and puzzled Christians for centuries with its vivid images of disaster and suffering, the Battle of Armageddon, the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, the hideous beast whose number is 666.
Fucking rad ending.
So yes, this is the end of the world.
Star Wars could take some notes.
From the Bible. But like I'm saying, like, what's like the last sentence?
The last sentence is,
and then there was nothing.
The last sentence, I believe, is okay. The last sentence of the Bible. Mm-hmm. May the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all of God's holy people.
Also, it ends on Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, it's
Jesus is kind of a big deal, isn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, yeah. He's, yeah.
Really kind of takes the plot,
like,
in the second
guy,
half.
Right?
He's like the main dude in the second half, huh? How many movies, can you get away with that movie, second act? Like, you know what I'm saying? Halfway through, new character, he's going to take you all the way to the ending? You know what I'm saying? It's not like Luke Skywalker shows up fucking movie two.
Here's how why we fucked
technically
up.
Technically shows up in movie four, Freddy.
Okay,
here's... Okay, all right. You know what? Star Wars, maybe not a bad comparison anymore.
Okay, here's a thought. Here's a thought.
I have some thoughts too, but you okay. go ahead.
Because, yes, the problem is that we didn't say we're going to do a movie about the Bible in 90 minutes. We said the Bible in 90 minutes. So we are trying
but
to.
But again, to parse our own phrase, I'd say if you could be like, all right, these stories are going to give you the Bible.
Maybe we have to be more abstract. For example,
Matt, what if there's a BuzzFeed listicle that says...
I did look up a list of the best Bible stories. I can go through it in a second.
I was going to say, one of the most brilliant filmmakers, one of the best, I would say, like, theological filmmakers, one of the smartest minds in all of film, Kieslowski tackled the Ten Commandments, mm-hmm. and he was smart enough to not try to just do a recreation of Ten Commandments, but make modern stories that essentially not just approach the Ten Commandments, but really dive deep. Like again, like Thou Shalt Not Kill, he does a story about capital, like, punishment. Like, mm-hmm. Again, one of the most fascinating ones to me is Thou Shalt Not Steal. It has nothing to do with stealing. It's about a voyeur, but then it's mm-hmm. because it's about the greater moral ramifications of what it means to take, and et cetera, et cetera.
Matt, you just made our job even harder, because now I have to not only be able to just be like, and then we do this story, I have to understand what the theme of it is and creatively reinterpret it in a modern context.
I'm saying, it's just like, so my point was, like, we just do a movie about, like, four folks trying to start a podcast in Hollywood, and you call it the Bible, and everyone would be like, interesting, this whole... You know what it is? Like, Mother is a story... Mother is essentially the
yes.
Old Testament.
Yes.
Or really just the story of creation, but made metaphysical. It's just...
It is... Well, it's basically the story. It's, yes, it's Genesis from the point of view of Mother Nature.
Yeah.
Is essentially who yeah. Jennifer Lawrence's character
okay, here, is. Okay, here. I found this website. Yeah. All 66 books of the Bible. There's 66 books of the Bible. 90 minutes. Think about it. That's like what? A minute and a half per book.
So maybe we do a speed round and we just try some.
Speed round. Genesis.
Okay, well, what are the best books of the Bible?
Because to me, like, Fantasia has this structure.
Uh-huh.
Where Fantasia is mm-hmm. these, like, vivid vignettes yeah. that range from silly comedy to apocalypse
okay.
to horror and drama to romance.
Musically based montage is definitely a way of bullshit through 90 minutes of Bible stories.
Real quick takes care of Psalms pretty good, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's true. You get some
just
yeah, you make a lot
right
of music
Psalms.
So the music itself is even referencing various parts of the Bible.
All right.
What are the
I'm
just curious, what are the BuzzFeed's most popular Bible?
This is not the Bible. This is from some website called the top10s.com.
Okay, I was about to say, because honestly, I feel like BuzzFeed's the last place that I would trust. For ranking the Bible stories.
10 most famous, this most famous Bible stories. Number one, Crucifixion of Jesus Christ.
Yo, love that one. I've heard of it. Keep going.
Number two, David versus Goliath.
Oh, it's in the Bible.
That's the classic.
Of course.
Dude, the Bible's got a lot of dope-ass stories. Again.
Number three, the birth of Jesus in the Nativity.
That's kind of like part one,
Christmas?
Part two.
It's
like,
the Phantom Menace of it. It's like, it's nice.
It's part
but like,
one,
it's
part two, you know what I'm saying?
Jonah and the Whale, great
good
story.
One. Yep.
I like that better when it was Moby Dick. Keep going.
Adam and Eve.
Yep.
Hey, it's got a little romance, got a little sex going on.
Daniel in the Lion's Den, which I don't know. That's so, you know, we should figure that out. That sounds fun. The creation of the heavens and earth, so Genesis.
There's one called
the resurrection of Jesus. Joseph and his amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Joseph is a legit good story. I just got to that part in my reading, and it's fantastic. Noah and the Ark, Abraham and Isaac, Jesus walking on water, the Good Samaritan.
Okay, Jesus walking on water, that doesn't count. You can't be like, that's the top 10 Bible story when it's just like, hey, yo, David Blaine did this thing once. You know what I mean? Like, that's just like, that's an episode.
It's a story in the
episode.
Bible. It's not like they just said, and then Jesus walked on water. It's
like saying that,
part,
that's
there's
like
a
saying,
story
that,
around
that's like
him
saying
doing
top
it.
10 Star Wars movies, the part where he levitates.
No, that's the problem, Freddy. That's why the Bible's so fucking rad. Bible gets to business right away. Like, half the time you were like, oh, David and Goliath, that's a great story. I can't wait to read that. It's like four sentences because the Bible fucking just
like,
goes through
this.
Stories. There's literally a story called Ezekiel and his zombie army. It's like 14 sentences. Like, there's undead army
so,
fights
so
Ezekiel.
So what I'm saying,
like, so
what
much
I'm
shit
saying
going on
is you
book.
Can just take all 66 books and then figure out a 1.5 minute short film for each one, and you would be adapting the Bible.
So you're talking about like a Clockwork Orange type experience where the audience just sits down and like they may not understand it, but after a couple of weeks of like vomiting, they're like, I think I know the whole Bible now.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, Freddie, my problem with what you just proposed is you just did what I call a what if we made a car that runs on garbage? which is like, it's all well and good to have that idea, but unless we're going to sit here and do that, I don't know that we can call it an episode.
In fact, what you just proposed would take at least 90 minutes, which we've already wasted about 30 minutes of our episode.
All right. Does it have a one line? I mean, what are we going to do?
Well, that would be the break. No, Freddie, I agree. Because I liked my idea of just a 90-minute intro. I think you have a second good break idea, which is, yes, you could definitely do. We can't do it here, but yes, you could essentially do 90-minute visual representation of all 66 books.
Yeah.
And you do a cool, like, title cards. Almost like 5-second film,
do
the movie.
Cool title cards. That's Matt's.
And you just go, boom, like Genesis. And it's like, boom. And yeah, you just go.
It's
through.
Like different fonts and stuff.
Like, that's a really good movie. But there's one part where like four of the shorts were essentially the same short, but slightly different. Like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It wasn't too good. That one guy, though, really liked himself. And it's like, yeah, that's pretty good.
That's okay. What I got out of it.
Okay. Maybe Fantasia is the right way to go. At least understand it.
I don't understand. What do you mean? Like just a musical? Like,
well, no, Fantasia, right?
Fantasia is like five different, it's like short films.
Yeah.
It's like, so yes, you, again, that's the idea being, not saying that it's musical.
Oh,
you're saying
my idea, but you pare it down to like the
pare it down
five.
To like the prime cuts.
You hear that is his idea. But you pare it down.
My idea of the Bible of 66 books in 90 minutes. You know what I mean? That makes it, you know what it would be? That would make for a really fucking clickbaity YouTube video.
That would be a good
video. Top 66 books of the Bible in a minute or less.
Wait, top 66 books of the Bible.
Number one, the book of Genesis. This is the book where God makes everybody, and then the Adam and Eve job, and he kicks them out, and then, yeah, you know.
And then the best part is, it's the 66 books of the Bible, and then like, you won't believe about number 19. You know what I mean?
Believe one of the books is literally just a list of family names.
Okay.
I mean, to be fair, I mean, Fantasia is very biblical. I don't remember. I'm trying to remember the order of it, but it's a pretty.
You got dinosaurs getting killed. You got.
I mean, literally,
mountain.
It starts with creation of life, and then it's literally hubris of man with a fucking
Mickey and the
wizard, and then you get that scary one that every kid remembers.
Night
the
on
fucking,
Bald Mountain.
Yeah, like which I believe is like the middle one, right?
I can't remember. It's and then there's close. The one with the centaurs.
Yeah, then it's like fucking new life. He did it. Wait, let's look at the structure. Is Fantasia the Bible?
Wait a minute. Fantasia
the Bible.
I remember the order. I'm like, is this Meet the Orchestra? That's not in the Bible. No, Night in Bald Mountain is the end.
Matt is just looking through the Wikipedia of Fantasia.
That's not the Bible.
That's not in the Bible.
Halfway through, let's meet the apostles, everybody. Okay. One, two, three, four. Six. Okay. It's fucking Citizen Kane. You start with all the apostles sitting around smoking cigarettes, like, how are we gonna tell this story? There's too much to tell. And like start from the beginning.
Oh, that's interesting.
What's the simple thing?
That's interesting.
What's the rosebud of the Bible?
Okay, here's what I could see. That's very interesting. Like Citizen Jesus. That's what you're
Citizen
saying.
Citizen Jesus.
Citizen Jesus.
If we were to break this up into like 4 or 5 mini movies, mm-hmm. that would definitely be the New Testament movie,
mm-hmm.
would yeah, be Citizen true. Jesus. You're getting the story of his life as told by the four apostles, and like you
yeah.
start
oh,
with
that's
the
a
newsreel.
Lot of yeah that's great that's a
yeah
lot
that's actually
of,
really cool
yeah okay.
Again, I'm not enough of a theologian to know like what Rosebud is or whatever, where they're like
okay, so yeah, well, let's start the story. It's Jesus, he's born in the manger. It's like, you don't start. Jesus isn't just a man. He's man and God. You got to start way back at the beginning. You go all the way back.
So it's
back
a framing.
To
so you're saying it's like a framing device with the apostles,
mm-hmm.
and you're using their
was,
discussion.
Oh, and unlike it's fucking Citizen Kane, but instead of the boring ass ending, Citizen Kane resurrects at the end of this movie.
That's
good as
imagine
hell.
If Citizen Kane came
they're,
back.
They're about. They're approaching their deadline. They're like, we're fucked. Like, we're no way we can do this story in just a single newspaper article, and then he comes back to life. They're like, thank you, Christ, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You came back to life before our deadline was there. Now we don't have to write the story anymore. You're alive.
Certainly a possibility.
Well, we've got a lot of takes on the table right now.
A lot of bets spread out all over.
You know
us.
What would really help us figure this out? If we had more money. Which I believe there's a Bible story about how that's pretty important. It's the most important thing in the world, right?
Wait.
The easiest way to get into heaven is riding on a camel with a bunch of money, right?
Yes, that's the phrase. Only a rich man can jump over the eye of the needle with his sweet money to get into heaven. I believe that's how that story goes. Folks, as we mentioned, this is the Max Fun Drive. Thank you so much for putting up with our episode this morning.
Will this end the show? I guess
will this
we'll find
end
out.
The show? Will the Bible be the last episode? Max Fun Drive is the time of year where we come together to support all the shows on Maximum Fun. Shows like this one.
Less blasphemous shows like all the other ones.
Yeah. When you become a member during the Max Fun Drive, you get to decide which shows that you benefit. This is an audience-supported network, which means we are free to make this kind of content that you enjoy because people like you contribute. So, like, this is, again, like,
we're the team, and you put us on your back.
Yeah.
And when we looked back, and there was only one set of footprints, it's because the Max Fun Network was carrying us, and
carrying
you were carrying
asses.
The Max Fun Network.
Yeah. This year has been a pretty crazy year, I think.
Indeed.
When you look at, like, all the years, probably one of the top craziest years.
If there's
years,
a Bible working 2,000 years from now, there'd probably be a story about this year in
about
it.
Three sentences in
saying.
It. Yep.
Yeah. Three sentences.
And then there was a great plague, and that's it.
Yeah, exactly. If you have enjoyed our voices in your ears, or if you've enjoyed any of the other shows on the Max Fun Network, if we've kept you company, if we've given you something to listen to while the world goes and explodes around us, and if you're able to join, why don't you do it right now? I mean, not if you're driving, like, you know, pull over or whatever, but
pull over.
Because let me sweeten the deal for you. This is what you get. Membership starts at $5 a month. That gets you all of the bonus content for this year and all of the previous years, the many, many previous years of episodes. And we have a bunch of past.
We've got some pretty sweet boat codes.
Shark Cops and Trucks
we did last year.
BJHS season 4. This year we did a great one where we talk about the five act structure. And we all pick our favorite acts from our favorite movies. And we
talk
about
my favorite act from the Bible is Acts.
Nice. That guy genuine laugh out Matt. That's a good one.
So you will get,
if you like that sort of Bible humor, some good
this
old,
is a Christian Bible
joke.
Podcast. You know, we just have good wholesome jokes about our faith.
Already $5 a month, tons and tons of content, hours and hours of content for you, waiting for you right now. If you choose to join or upgrade at $10 a month, you get the Max Fun membership card and a cool enamel pin of your choice. We worked closely with our designer this year to design a pin that says in the Star Wars font, "I don't eat fruit."
It's my favorite pin.
It's a really
of
good
all the pins
pin.
Of all the shows of all the years I've seen. It's my favorite pin. It may not be anybody else's, but it's mine. So if you want to support Matt having dumb ideas for pins,
that was 100% a Matt idea. That was just like, oh, I don't eat fruit. We're like, okay, let's go for it. You know what? Fruit. Fuck fruit. I love fruit, but you know what? This pin, in case you don't like fruit, or if you want to get weird questions from strangers, I don't eat fruit in the Star Wars font. Make that the centerpiece of your pin collection. Max Fun's going to take a break from pins after this year, so this is going to be like the last one for a little bit. So for the 2021 show,
baby,
and on the top,
you make the best.
They saw I don't eat fruit, and they said, you know what? The manufacturers came back to us and they said, this is the best pin we've ever seen. And if you join or upgrade at $20 a month or more, you get this year's special gift: the Max Fun Take a Minute Tea Kit.
Ooh.
It is a custom tin with art by Atomic Pixies, a rocket-shaped tea infuser, and a custom Max Fun blend of tea from our friends at Wishes Tea, which is a light, peppery, not peppery, it's like almost cinnamony, refreshing orange citrus sort of focus.
That sounds
tea.
I've not had my tea yet, but that sounds delightful.
That sounds a lot better than the pepper tea you were describing a moment ago.
I've been doing it as an iced tea because I'm an iced tea boy. It infuses real well cold and hot. So, you know, you take a minute, get a nice cuppa. Get a cuppa. And also that tea infuser, you can use other teas in it. I checked.
And if you're not a member and you wish to join, go ahead and go to MaximumFun.org/join. Once again, for all you people who are paying attention on the road, that is MaximumFun.org/join.
By the way, someone pointed out on Twitter, I think, that last week's episode, Infinite Jest, was also Maximum Fun.
Yeah, if you think about it, Infinite Jest is just the synonyms of Maximum Fun.
It's very good.
That was not on purpose. We are not that clever. We were all three of us were like,
plainly
whoa.
Evidenced by our failure this episode to break the story of the Bible.
All right, back to it. The Bible.
Okay, so
I'll say this. Citizen Jesus, at least, is funny. We can hang on to that. And if it fails, you know,
so wait, we reach for the stars.
We reach for the stars. We didn't just say we're doing the Bible in 90 minutes. We're like, well, let's try a little fun angle on it.
It's tough because it's definitely like you have it's two books, right? And they're both like enough to support at least one movie.
We got to do the Bible.
At least 1 3-hour movie, right? Like there's enough stuff in. Okay, but anyway, so Citizen Jesus is very good. You have.
So it gives you a structure of why you're skipping around. Like, you know, the reporter's like, all right, but get to the meat of it. Like, I get it. Like, God was angry. He was killing a lot of us. Like, what's next? Like, where does Jesus come into this sort of thing?
Well, let's start with Jesus.
Like,
well,
you got to talk to the old guy. And then we cut to like, I don't know where, but you just cut to a farm and then they go up and they drive up and Moses is there and he's still alive. Because he's like, yeah, people in the Old Testament live a really long time. So this is like, you're saying like a playful postmodern, we squash it all a little bit in terms of like, you know, it's
they're
like,
trying to understand Jesus who just died in the same way that Mr. Hearst is in
Kane
just died.
Okay, this is, now you're on my level, because you know what this is? This is like the Ready Player One version.
Oh my God.
Because what you do is, no, we're not, you do, it's a tour of the Bible with someone trying to get to the bottom of what this is all about, right? And then you do, like, they're meeting all the characters, right? They're meeting, like, oh, and again, it's like, if you're a Bible head, as I believe the official name of the religion of people who are fans of the Bible, you're seeing Noah, you're seeing Bible Samson heads. And Delilah, you're seeing the David and Goliath, and then, like, you can make these, again, it's like Lego movie, right? Like, you make these fun references to all this stuff, and then, like, it's a springboard for someone to learn about all that cool stuff, and it's, like, that kind of fun postmodern pastiche kind of thing.
And they're constantly throwing to, well, if you want the full story, you're going to have to go to the book.
Yeah, exactly, right?
And it's just, like, the
sales
pitch.
That the Lego movie is a commercial to buy more Legos, this is a commercial to read the Bible, because look at all these fun, I want to know about that guy fighting the big giant guy. Like, well, I better go read the Bible.
And the Lego movie is, like, oh, it's about people who are, like, following the instructions, or people who are, like, creative builders, and this one's, like, you know, biblical literalists versus people who are...
That's actually kind of interesting.
I want to take a quick second here to just chime in. The only experience I have with the Bible was a friend of mine and I, after college, we went across the country on a very specific road trip to visit the Creation Museum in Petersburg, Kentucky, which is a wild place, because more than anything else, it's an example of, here's what happens if you give a museum a shitload of money. Like, you're just not used to the level and quality of just... On a non, you know, like a non-religious level, the exhibits are exquisite. Like, the work, it is a very, very well-funded museum. So that's, like, the most that I know. And it is interesting because the literalist interpretation does help us compress all of this down. You know what I'm saying? Because instead of spending all this metaphorical time building the universe, it's just 7 days, dog. We could just do that boom, and, boom, you know, boom. Boom, boom, boom.
Very true. I was also looking at what are all the books of the, I mean, I know, but like, what are all the books of the New Testament? Like, after the four Gospels, like, that's all Jesus' story. So it's like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all get their one thing. And then this guy, Paul, writes like 4,000 letters. So like half the books are letter of Paul to the Romans, letter of Paul to the Corinthians. We need two books of Corinthians.
What is the gist of Paul's letters?
Letter of Paul to the Galatians, letter of Paul to the Philippines. To the Philippians, to the Colossians, to the Thessalonians.
So what is he writing letters about?
Just see what he's up to. Just checking in.
What is Paul writing?
It's a lot of like, it's like moral lessons. Like, everybody else is telling stories. So he's like, here's what I think. He's writing hot takes about the four.
These are the epistles. Gospels. The epistles. Yeah. As in the epistles.
The Pauline epistles, also called the epistles of Paul, letters of Paul. 13 books.
Well, that rolls off the tongue. Epistles of Paul.
Books.
They provide an insight into the beliefs and controversies of early Christianity.
Our main character is Paul.
That's what I was thinking.
That gets 13 books out of 66 right there. Your main character is Paul.
That's
true. That.
Paul is the main character. Think about it. So he's in a quarter of the Bible, just in screen time
Who's
alone.
This Paul guy? like Paul does a lot of the Bible.
I'm looking
Let's
at this painting of Paul on the Wikipedia page, and he definitely feels like the modern version of someone who like writes a bunch of comments on message boards something that they're a big fan of.
He would definitely be on the New York Times comment section is what you're saying.
Yeah, he's got the verified New York Times comment, and he feels real good about it.
Paul taught that Christians are redeemed from sin by Jesus's death and resurrection. He's kind of, you know, spreading that message.
13 books to say that.
This is intriguing, though.
Concern of Paul's writings on Jesus's role and salvation by faith is not the individual conscience of human sinners and their doubts about being chosen by God or not, but the problem of the inclusion of genteel Torah observers into God's covenant.
So he's basically, if I'm going to shoot from the hip here, what we're saying is...
Based on one line from Wikipedia,
so it seems like
Will.
The books of Paul are like interpretation, right? Like it's concerned with like, okay, here's the story. What does the story mean?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So like he's either the main character and then like, I don't know, God's like, stop writing all these letters. You're driving people crazy. Go on a cool Bible adventure.
Or you kind of cheat and like the end of this movie is like, now Paul is ready to write all of his letters to everybody. Like, how am I supposed to write letter because there's no newspapers back. He's like, how am I supposed to write all these letters? People, I gotta write letters. Like, what's the story of Jesus, guys? I don't know what's going on. What's this rosebud thing? Like, what's happening? How am I supposed to write letters to the Phoenicians and all these people? I don't know what I'm talking about. And then
all the apostles.
And all the apostles are like, well, we got, he's like, yeah, and you guys are contradicting each other. You all tell different things. Like, well, we can each have
okay,
our own book.
So Paul starts as, okay, let's see.
Specifically, I like there's all these different letters of Paul to somebody, and then it's just the letters to the Hebrews. And then I looked it up, and like, it used to be Paul's letter to the Hebrews. And then people are like, I don't know if we could give credit to Paul on this one. We're not sure if this was actually Paul. But I like the idea is like, Paul's like, not the Hebrews. Like, he wrote letters to everybody but the Hebrews. Some other dude wrote to the Hebrews. Anyways.
Paul was likely born between the years 5 BC and 5 AD. Okay, so he's there. So he's an apostle. Again, like, he knows Jesus. From a devout Jewish family based in the city of Tarsus, one of the largest centers of the trade on the Mediterranean coast.
Look, I'll say this.
I'm just trying to, go ahead.
Yeah, think about it this way. Again, one, we don't know so much about, like, the writer in Citizen Kane. Mm-hmm. I think what you have, like, one of my favorite images of the Bible when I was a kid was always, like, it's all the apostles, like, at the bar, tavern, whatever, after, like, the death. And then that's the Doubting Thomas story. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the, I don't believe Jesus could come back. Because, again, this would be, like, a Citizen Kane if, like, fucking Mr. Hearst came into the office after he was dead.
Yeah, he's like, Rosebud's like, my sled.
And that's that's a dope-ass ending, right? And you literally have one guy be like, I don't believe any of this. Like, I think we shouldn't even write this story. And then, you know, like, Doubting Thomas, like, touch my finger, like, yo, check it. I am Jesus. He's like, oh, shit, I was wrong.
Touch my finger?
What is that?
Doubting Thomas is all the other apostles or all the other people that were there when Jesus comes back to the office. They literally get
to the
tavern or wherever they're drinking and, you know, being sad about to their friend dying. They all get the light of the Holy Spirit above their heads. And then Jesus literally comes in and all of them are happy to see him. But Thomas doesn't believe it's actually him.
Oh, interesting.
So Jesus then says, touch my hand. And Thomas puts his finger in the hole where the nail was. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, oh, it is Jesus. And the lesson of that is like, he's like, yes, but like everybody else didn't need to be proven to it. Mm-hmm. Like, you're doubting Thomas. That's when they all run to the cave and see that the stone has been moved and they believe it. But it's a, you know, it's a lesson about like taking things at face value, which, you know, arguably, you know, we can all have a theological discussion on how valid it is to just believe shit without any proof. But the purpose of that story is like, yes, don't be a doubting Thomas.
I think the point being is that it's like he's a person who only believes in things that he has personal experience, direct personal experience.
Yes,
I see.
What's the point being like, you're never going to get that, like, at all times. Like, how are you supposed to be, you know, my apostle who's going to preach the word if, like, you can only, you know what you can feel in touch or whatever. So yes. So like that.
Okay.
Be like,
well, all right. Okay. So here's what I would say then, because Paul was like straight up on one of the apostles. He's one of the people that was following Jesus around his whole life. Like, you could do basically like, again, the apostles are sad and drinking after. So we take this moment, right? Yeah. Jesus has died. And then we do just the guy from Citizen Kane, like some reporter from, you know, the fucking Jerusalem.
Oh, tell
Daily
us about
whatever.
Him.
He comes in. He's like, boys, I just heard a sensational story. What's going on? What's the word? And they're you know, like, let me tell you about what's going on. And then that's your way in.
Can I ask you a question, Matt?
Yeah.
So like Doubting Thomas, that's like, he's like, Judas a little bit, right?
No, I mean, he's not that bad. It's
but
not like
he didn't betray Christ, but he was like, you weren't there, you know what I'm saying? Like, you
it's
were
just,
doubting.
I mean, it's just, it shows that he is in some levels a weaker, not weaker, but he's less
given,
he's less devout, I guess.
Sure. Another term. Given all of that, why is anybody named Thomas? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this, here's the Bible story. Here's this dude who was like, Jesus came in and was like, yo, I'm back. And the one dude who was like, no, you ain't. Let me touch your wounds. And I was like, yo, who the fuck is up with this guy? And you're telling me after that story got out and everyone knows it, people were like, yo, I'll name my kid after that
dude. If you're named Thomas, well, one, not everybody's Christian, so the right. But also, two, it's like, yeah, can you imagine like being Thomas and like you being named Thomas? You go to like Bible school in like second grade.
Oh,
and, like,
man,
and then this one guy, Thomas, didn't like Jesus. Like, oh, shit.
Dude, Thomas in Bible study, Sundays, getting roasted by the rest of the kids. That's Jack, dude.
Right.
Okay. Oh, you want my pudding? Do you want to touch it first to make sure I actually have pudding? Okay. Anyways. Okay. Yes. Back to it.
Okay.
So this is good. This is good because we can essentially bullshit and say that they like tell the story of the Bible. But what we need is, what is the Rosebud thing? What's the main question this guy's coming in and being like, yo, I'm at the Hebrew Times. I'm about to write a story about this guy who died or whatever. I got a question for you. What's the deal with
Jesus? I mean, it's got to be just the basic story, right? It's got to be, you know, Jesus died for your sins. We are, right? Like, it's the New Testament moral, right?
I got half this golden rule that says love every neighbor. Like, what's the other half? And they're like, oh, shit, we should know this. We were his apostles. It's like the one thing he told us. Let's go back and figure this out.
I got do unto others, but then what?
That's pretty much the story of the Bible. I mean, that's the golden rule. That's the gist of it. If you had to get the Bible into a sentence, that's probably about as good as you're going to get, right?
I got this other part. What's the second part?
Oh, man, we should drink so much. Oh, this is why he's dead. None of us were good apostles. And like, no, keep it together. We can do this. This is why we're here. We got to fucking
He believed in us. I believe in you. Not you, Thomas. Get the fuck out of here, you fucking asshole. I got two unto others. Yeah, and then it's the rest of it.
Is it as they're telling the story, they're like, okay, well, let's start at the beginning. Maybe we can figure this out. And then, like, after the first story, they're like, do unto others like God would do if you were fucking bad, which is flood the place. So, like, that's just like, nah, yeah, but you got the story keeps going. The story keeps going.
Yeah. I love that they're all, like, Brooklyn, like, gangsters now. Matt has turned them into a bunch of mafiosos sitting around smoking cigars over plates of spaghetti.
Okay. Zag. Okay. Last minute zag.
Wait, this is so good.
No,
okay,
no, but hear me out. Same idea. Okay. But instead of, because I'm like, the apostles would know the end of do unto others. Hear me out. It's a kid who's trying to pass his Bible class.
Uh-huh.
And then you do it's fucking Bill and Ted meets the Bible.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, he goes up to this guy. He's like, shit, I'm like, I got this Bible test in 10 minutes. I'm freaking out. I don't know the answer to this question, right? Like, he's in the middle of the test. It's just,
oh, and
do
he prays to God.
Do unto others and then blank, right? He's like, yeah. Uh-oh. And then he's like, shit, I got to figure this out. And so he's like, teacher, I got to go to the bathroom. And they're just like, all right, it seems suspicious. And then they go out.
It seems
and they're
sus,
in the hallway.
But go for
they
it.
See a mysterious old man, mm-hmm. you know, sweeping in the corner. And they're like, do you know what the answer to this question is? And the kid's like, the guy's like, guess what? I'm Paul the Apostle, and let me show you. And then he slams his little thing.
No, not Paul. You wrote 13 books. Give me one of the other apostles that
and
did
then
it
it's
in one.
Like, it's this kid on this like big Bible adventure, and then he's got to learn the thing. Or is that not as fun?
I don't think that's as fun. All it's right. The same. I'm okay with like, I mean, maybe it doesn't have to be as simple as what's the back half of the sentence. But to be fair.
You know that there is one listener out there who's like, what is it? No, but what is it?
Golden rule, I don't know if it's do unto others as you would have done unto you. Or
yes,
say, treat your neighbors as you would like to be treated, that sort of thing.
Pretty bulletproof.
Pretty
as
bulletproof.
Far as
pretty
like
and then you're like, but what if you're a shitty person? You like to be treated shittily. It's like, well, maybe deep down you don't want to be treated shittily, and that's the problem.
Maybe
like,
think about that more.
And also, like, you know, yeah, Hitler is the exception that proves the rule, not the other way around. You don't make your rules based around what would work for Hitler, okay? Like, if you try to make a morality that works for Hitler, we're not going to have any good morality. Like, he's going to ignore it one way or the other. Anyways.
Well, we solved it, boys. We just solved all of theology.
Look, it could be simply, rather than, like, I have this back half of the sentence, it could be, hey, you know, I got to write about this guy who died. Like, what's his deal? And they're like, what? What's his deal? Like,
what's
what
the
are you
headline?
Writing?
It's what's a the headline?
No, not even the headline. It's like, what are you talking about? Like, fucking front page. We could tell you stories. Stories like, guys, it's a fucking dude that died. I don't give a shit. I got one line here. I got to fill it in. Jesus Christ was what? And they're like, we only have one, like, sentence to, like, say, like, what.
Oh, I like that.
What's
yeah.
supposed
yeah,
to be?
Yeah,
like,
because,
like, to
yeah.
them, they're like, it's nobody. And then you could end it with, like, you know, when Jesus actually shows up, like, the guy's like, oh, boy, this guy deserves a whole front
what
page.
A scoop.
I'm going to make a religion that lasts for thousands of years.
It's going to go great.
It's going to go great.
It's going to go great. This seems really simple. We're not going to fuck it up at all. How hard can it be?
Me.
Do unto others as you have them do unto you.
Yeah,
that seems simple enough. Let's just do that.
But yes, there's like, how do we distill Jesus's teaching? Like, how can we explain Jesus in an obituary that's like two sentences long?
They're okay. writing the obituary
yes.
for
like,
Jesus.
There's a guy's like, guys, this is supposed to be easy. I got to get home. Like, no, you stay right there. And like, they're trying. And then he gets interested. Like, oh, this guy's more interesting than I thought.
That's fun because then you can get through it. Again, it's these four, the apostles who knew Jesus better than everybody. There's the biggest Bible nerds on the planet, right? And so like, well, you got to start with this book and then this book and then this book, and then you can get the fun of like the reporter like flipping through them, and we're seeing bits and pieces and all the names. He's like, guys, this is too much. Like, I got for one headline.
Sorry, and then just again, Bible ignorance here.
Yeah.
Was the Old Testament around? Like,
yeah, Old Testament was written before Jesus.
Yeah, but like, yeah, so
the
they would be sitting around.
Believed.
Yes, so that basically, yeah, so if you're Jewish, you believe in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
You still do because you don't think that Christ was the Messiah
or the
Son of God. Right?
Sure.
So then the New Testament is basically, that's like the book that Catholicism and Christianity
okay,
is based
so,
on.
So this is going to sound just once
Jesus
again.
Jesus was teaching off this of is, like the old, like again, Jesus when he's like, yo, I'm
yes,
the Son
Jesus
of God. He was
Jew.
Like, I'm the Son of God in the Old Testament.
So to
that God.
So to throw another insane statement out there. So what's the Bible back then half as thick?
It wasn't called the Bible. It was like,
but it was like half as
teachings.
Thick.
No,
so
yes,
I don't think
they
was,
did. Yeah. They didn't have the New Testament because that had been written yet.
Yeah.
Right?
So it'd be half
and
as
yes,
thick.
And yes, and it's also like, what's interesting is you have like, after Jesus dies, you have this crisis point where they're like, all right, what becomes of Christianity? Right?
Yeah.
Like,
there's this really fascinating. There's, I was always into like, I forget how many, but there was like literally councils at certain points in history, like 1,000 years after, like a bunch of people were like, yo, what books are included in the Bible? Sure. Which like that's a whole political thing. Like, hey, why were these books extracted? Like when people say like, well, this, the Bible says this, is like, remember, like, so the New Testament took away books.
So the New Testament's like the DLC.
Yeah, it's like the addition. Again, Jesus came and was like, yo, I got an update
for you. More like patch notes. Yeah. It's more like notes. It's more like Final Fantasy 14, A Realm Reborn, where it really changes the original game.
Because remember, Jesus is God, right? And most Christianity, I think all, but just putting it out there, I don't know all Christianity, but yes, yeah, like the Holy Spirit, God, the Father, Trinity, Jesus, right? They're all the they're
okay.
God.
But so yes, I like this that you do essentially you have this moment of despair where they're like, what's going to happen to Christianity? Yeah. What do we do? How do we tell his story? And then someone comes in and they're like, boys, I need the one. He gets one line. You know, what should we say? And then like now you have these four guys who don't agree with each other debating, and then like that's basically our vehicle for going through the Bible to try to
he's like, and your comic relief is like you have this guy named Thomas and everybody just fucking hates Thomas the whole time. Like, shut up, Thomas, god damn it, why are you even here?
I don't know if they'd say god damn it, but yeah,
you can't. Toto's like, you can't say god damn it, you're going to hell now. Oh shit, Thomas got me, god damn it, oh shit again. Fuck you, Thomas. And then when he shows up, Thomas like, hey, can I touch your hand? He's like, of course. Fucking course. Fucking court. They all look at the reports like, we don't know him. Like, I don't know what's this guy.
All right. So then essentially the flow of it is like, yes, you do. If he's like, you know, what, like, again, like there's the sort of like, you know, we focus on Genesis and like the, you know,
the reporter's like, your guide of like, tell me about the Bible. And he's asking questions. So he's essentially being the guide for the audience as you're learning about, again, he's like, okay, if I'm learning about Jesus, why am I learning about God in the Old Testament? That's not Jesus. Like, no, you don't understand. God like is Jesus. Like,
yeah.
Like,
first, if you're going to know Jesus, you got to know his dad. Yeah. Right. So like, this is what his parents were like. And
then it's like, oh, it's a little bit, it's also a little bit like Princess Bride, you know? And then he's like, oh, I didn't mean, this is the good stuff. This is what I'm talking about. He's the obvious, like, oh, naked, give me the kissing.
Naked broad in a garden. I love it.
I love it.
Like, that's not the point.
No, that's not the point. Jesus liked naked broads and gardens. Thanks, everybody. No, stay right there. That's not the point. That just started. Don't say that. Please don't write that. Please don't write that as the obituary. That's not what it's about.
Okay, so essentially the structure of the movie is a dialogue between this reporter and the apostles. And essentially every, like, he's like, so what's the deal? And they're like, all right, well, let's start with the story of Genesis, right? And then he has a follow-up question based on Genesis that's like, well, wait a second. It sounds like this God guy's kind of a jerk, right? Like, come on, they ate an apple. He kicks him out. Give me a break. He's like, well, no. Let me follow that up with the story of, you know, Moses or something like that, right? And then it's like, you know, then he's like, so it seems like God's got a thing for these Jewish people, the chosen people, right? So like, so, you know, like,
tell
or whatever,
me about
right?
that.
So you essentially are getting through your highlights of the Bible and taking some derails and stuff like that, building up to through. So then essentially the structure, the crisis moment feels like they get through the story of Jesus, and then the reporter is at the same, he's just as stumped as they are, right?
Because now he's like, wow, so now what?
Yeah, so like, and now, and he's like, wow, I see, that's a real head scratcher. You know, it's like, maybe I'll just scrap the whole story or something like that.
If only somebody could tell us the answer. Hello. I was like, you, buddy, you did it. And he's like, well, if you're not dead, I don't go right. This obituary, I'm out. He runs away.
And he does. Yes, he's like, oh, thank God, I'm off the hook. And then he's like, I guess we're going to have to write it ourselves. And then they just write the Bible.
And they all bicker. And then you get the fun thing. You're like, oh, that's funny. They're all bickering and arguing because all the books are a little bit different. The four apostles can't agree. And the other eight don't do shit. Paul's like, you know, you guys argue. I'm going to go write letters to everybody else. I'm going to play the long con. I'm getting 13 books out of this bad boy.
He's writing Paul all signs exclusive 13 book deal with God.
They were... they see, the other apostles, they didn't think about a thing called international rights. So I went and I sold my book deals to all the other places.
All right. Well,
that's a thing.
Whew.
So, I mean, the ending's Christ's resurrection. That's pretty cool. Good way to end. And down Thomas.
All right. As far as I will say, as far as a structure for getting to the Bible in 90 minutes in a way that isn't just a synopsis of the entire thing, I like that hook. You know, like, I like the hook of essentially using this one moment as a way to extrapolate and tell stories, but in a way that those stories further the drama essentially of this conversation.
Here's how you end it.
Okay.
You actually end, so the main character is a reporter, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't defeat the whole mythology, but the whole magic, not magic. You don't need to do the whole, here's how you do the ending. Fucking reporter, you actually stay with the reporter. He goes home, he's like, oh, I'm glad I don't have this deadline. And he throws away his paper, and he goes home, and he's with his wife and kid, and the kid's like, Dad, I saw there was like a really horrible like crucifixion. Like, what was that about? He's like, oh, it was this guy named Jesus. Like, oh, I heard about him. He's like, Dad, what was his deal? And he's like, well, son, you know, I think when it comes to our neighbors, he like tells his son like the story, like, oh, this is literally the beginning of Christianity.
Actually, here's what you do. The beginning of the movie, we start with this guy having a problem with his neighbor.
Yes.
Right? His neighbor's got an olive tree and the branches are swooping over to his place. He's like, that's it. That's it, Judith. I'm chopping down the olive tree.
Oh my God. It's like the framing device for the framing device.
Yes. Yeah. And then you do. He's got this beef with his neighbor.
He's got a problem cutting down. I can't cut down. I got a job to do. I got to go write this obituary for this Jesus guy.
It's like, stop eating my olives. Your olives are in my property. You know, it's like one of those, right? The end of the story is he comes back and he's internalized the lesson and then he quashes his beef with his neighbor. And
yes, that's good.
And then everything worked out fine.
It worked out fine.
The end, roll credits.
Yeah. All right. There you go.
There you go, folks. That's the kind of great.
Look, for the whole Bible in 90 minutes, it's not bad. I would, if somebody said that movie was made, I would at least watch it.
It does feel like the sort of zany, like 1930s or 40s, like Ernst Lubitsch version
of
the Bible.
Yes, this is a black and white.
Sort of witty Billy Wilder kind of like snappy. You know, it's a little postmodern. It's a little, you know, cheeky.
But yeah, like Devil and Daniel Webster. It's a weird kind of stories. Like, yeah.
Or almost like C.S. Lewis with like Screwtape Letters and stuff like that. Yeah, like, it's exactly. You're playing around with it, you know.
Yeah.
Like, hopefully in a loving and respectful way or not, if you don't like the Bible.
Depending on what audience you're going for.
Let me read a quick little comment from one of the supporters of Max Fun. Jim writes how the other big Max Fun story for him is the amount that it has been part of his marriage. Says, quote, my wife and I discovered our mutual love for podcasts within the first 3 dates, and particularly our shared fondness for my brother and me, and Judge John
Hodgman. You know what
they say
after the first 3 dates?
Time to listen to a podcast.
Time to listen to a podcast, baby.
Time to put on Mission to Six, you know what I mean?
We've seen several shows when they perform live in Chicago, including having Judge John Hodgman rule in my favor during some live justice at a 2018 show at Talia's Hall in Chicago. That's kind of, this is one of those ones where it's like, because
marriage began and ended with Max Fun.
Well, I just want to point out, like, of course he's going to write a nice letter. Judge John Hodgman ruled in his favor.
Yeah, that's true.
Hodgman ruled that they must have 2 sets of measuring spoons and cups in our kitchen. That's a good point.
That's
by the way,
I've actually
that's
idea.
A good point,
dude. I'm like John Wick with my measuring spoons and cups. I'm just dropping them where they list. I'm just throwing them all over the place, you know, like I'm just very in the moment with them.
That's just an example of some of the other great shows on the network, and it's not just our show. It's not just my brother and me and Judge John Hodgman. There's a whole bunch available. You can find them all at maximumfun.org. But you know, we started this show almost on a lark years ago, back when we were at our old office. This has been probably this has been the longest running thing we've ever done.
I think you're right. Wow.
Other
than our friendship. But this started in 2017.
Really?
Yep. 2017 is when we started Story Break. We've been going for, going on our 4th year now.
This makes us the longest thing that we've done creatively. And as people who constantly jump around from project to project, it's been a good foundation. It's been just a good way to get back together and have a shared sort of common thread here across our crazy Holly weird careers.
And it's also like being part of the Max Fun Network has definitely made that possible for us to be able to have the, and again, when we started out in podcasting with doing this, we had no real idea what we were doing.
No,
a lot of our initial,
whatsoever.
Like when we brought it to, I think through Travis McElroy is the one who introduced us to Jesse Thorne and Max Fun. And we brought it to Jesse and he gave us incredible feedback on how to structure the show a little better.
I still like think about Jesse's notes and apply that to anytime
Jesse,
someone
asks. We had lunch with him and Laura Swisher.
Yeah,
like, it was
amazing.
A really great, super productive. They gave us incredible
highly important lunch
in
my life.
It was one of the all time lunches. It was the Pixar lunch and then our lunch with the Max Fun team.
It's where we came up with Ratatouille and Finding Nemo.
Pixar's Toilets and Butts.
Some maximum fun.
Shit, that's a good one. Know what you should pay. That's a good one. That's worth $5. Toilets and Butts. Pixar's Toilets and Butts. Without your $5, we would not have been able to have done Pixar's Toilets and Butts.
So here's how you can join. Here's how you can join Booster, upgrade your membership right now. Most folks will start off with $5 a month, which again gets you all that bonus content for all the shows. $10 a month gets the pin, such as again our I Don't Eat Fruit pin. And then there are special thank you gifts for joining or upgrading at $20 and up. Too.
I love the $20 one because last $20 one was like, here's a cookbook of stuff you have to make. This $20 one's like, know what? We've made it for you. Just put this tea in some water. Have a good time. Yeah. Take a minute for yourself. We all need it this year.
And by the way, I know that there's a lot of people out there who aren't like into getting gifts and just want to support. You can do that too. Don't have to get stuff in the mail if you don't want it. You can boost your membership into any amount, to any level that you want. However much you choose to support, thank you so much for supporting this show. When you're ready, do it at MaximumFun.org/join.
Needless to say, thank you as well to all of our current supporters.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You guys are incredible, and it means so much to us.
All right. Well, that does it for us. That's the Bible, dudes.
That's the Bible. Now let's take
And we're still here.
Think about time.
We haven't been smoked, right? We good so far.
We haven't posted
St.
it yet.
St. Peter had the door. He had hand on the door, and he's like, let's see where these boys end up. And now, you know what? It's not certain either way, but we're good.
Who knows?
Like, yeah, we still got some time to get forgiven for what we've just done. We're okay.
I mean, it might be the rest of our lives in some cases.
Head on over to join the discussion at twitter.com/RJStoryBreak, where you can see all sorts of super cool fan art, such as this fan art from a couple of our fans. Thanks to Shiny Smalls for sending us a really awesome poster of Adam Driver in our Infinite Jest movie. It's the only poster I've seen with footnotes. So well done, Shiny Smalls.
That's great.
Perfect,
I love
perfect,
it.
Perfect.
Thanks to
Adam Driver, good choice too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Adam Driver, good choice.
Thanks to Big Tab Art for sending us some Jar Jar Binks Portrait of a Hero fan art. Very gruesome moment. Jar Jar's final breath with Darth Vader sparking up that saber. They Love the Genderqueer Spider sent us some Key Swan fan art from our Maximum Fun bonus episode about VGHS season 4. So if you're a video game high school fan, you can listen to what we would have done if we had done a season 4 of Video Game High School. It's actually a super fun episode.
I sent that fan art straight to Ellery, and Ellery was like, wow, I haven't seen fan art in a long time. That was super good. So good job, whoever drew that. Who drew that?
That was They Love the Genderqueer Spider, so thank you to They Love.
You know what's another reason the Bible rocks?
Yes.
I don't think there's any fucking work of art or literature or anything that has fucking more rad fan art than the Bible.
There is more good fan art.
If you don't believe me, look up Bible art and just put any word next
That's
to it.
True.
Story, cool, battle. You're going to find some good
stuff. There's tons of battles. There's people being converted. I got this cool picture on my computer right here of Thomas like poking Jesus in the chest and Jesus being like,
Yeah, it's real, right? Check it. Anyways, seriously, Bible art's cool.
That's Caravaggio. Who painted that one?
Caravaggio, the first fan art fan.
Leonardo da Vinci, king of fan art.
This is my OC. Please do not steal. Jared McPhee, thanks so much for sending us an incredible animatic for the I Do Not Eat Fruit scene. You can check that out on our Facebook group.
Yes.
Facebook.bit.ly/storybreakfb. And then, of course, last but most certainly not least, our good friend Storybroke sent us an incredible poster for Mortal Kombat Genesis. Featuring one Sonic the Hedgehog teaming up with the cast of Mortal Kombat. So yes, twitter.com/RJStoryBreak or bit.ly/StoryBreakFB to join our community.
And thank you. If you've gone the extra mile to become a Max Fun member, thank you so much for making this show possible. We are able to bring this show to you independent of outside influence such as the Vatican, because our audience, people like you, have chosen to support it. So thank you so much. We're here. Thanks to you. Go check out MaximumFun.org/join. See all the great gifts they have on offer. Support this show. Support independent podcasting. Support the network directly. Head on over to MaximumFun.org/join. All right. Well, I think that does it for us this week, boys.
Yes.
Thanks so much for joining us. Hope you've had a great blasphemous time here. Until next week. Another hard mode episode, right?
I think we're back to Jar Jar next week.
We did the two hardest books, huh?
We did the Infinite Jest in the Bible, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good hard mode.
Week, we're back to the story of Jar Jar Binks. You know, maybe next week we'll do a, we can post the audio
a little
drama,
recap, yeah.
So that everyone can get caught up.
Yeah, yeah, that'll be a good idea.
And we can take a week off.
I like that. That's a good one.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next time. My name is Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos.
And I'm Matt Arnold. May the force be with you.
Yeah, what's the catchphrase in the Bible?
That's what I say. That. I was like, may the Lord be
forgive us our daily trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.